The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International. Episode 15! 15! This is the 15th episode. I am not making a mistake this time. With me today is a guest. He's back. Hey.
I have returned.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Brent. I'm doing great, Brent. It's very early where I am, so yes, I'm wonderful. I'm awake. My brain is alive. I know everything.
This will be kind of fun.
All things do I know.
It's slightly early for you and slightly late-ish for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that means we're cracking for a really good show.
Or it's just going to be lots of grunts.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, comic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that was episode 15. We're just going to go right into episode 16, the non-grunt show.
What if you had, like, hyper-short podcasts? It was like, X-Force, these issues, meh, end of podcast. Yeah.
That would actually kind of be hilarious. Now I want to do that. Like, put it every 15 minutes up a new episode. Have, like, a minute theme song. Just be like, what do you guys think? Sucked, good, bad, wonderful.
Awesome.
So,
what comic are we talking about?
You gave it away. We're going over X-Force, but we're going over the X-Force that's not really X-Force. It's the X-Force that's the Ecstatics X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
So, these are issues 116 through 120 of X-Force Volume 1 that introduced a whole new roster that would eventually be called Ecstatics. This was, you know, I guess part of Marvel in 2001 decided, you know what we need? We need some indie cred. So they pulled out Peter Milligan, who had done, what, like Shade the Changing Man, and pretty much he was a Vertigo darling, as far as I understand. And Mike Allred, who is known for Madman Comics,
mm-hmm.
And just for being Mike Allred, I think.
I was very excited when I realized this was all Mike Allred art. I was like, yes, it's going to be so weird and fun.
It is, and that's exactly what it is. Like, I really like the Mike Allred. And yet he's one of those artists that if someone just came up and was like, hey, you know what, I just he's not really my bag. I'd kind of have to go, yeah, okay, you're wrong, but yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
He's not for everyone.
No,
he
isn't.
Very particular and strange.
Yeah.
It was really, I love in the first issue, they have the random shot where they go to their gift shop or whatever, the X-Force gift shop.
Yes.
And there's clearly like Wolverine, Scott, and like a teenage version of Jean.
Yeah.
Just right there, just for fun, just for funsies.
I kept on just looking at that teenage not Jean and was like, is that supposed to be Rachel? Is that supposed to be Jean? Is that just like, nope, screw it, we're gonna mess with you. It's gonna be a red haired and a green outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. But I mean, it's a great pairing. I mean, really, mm-hmm. I got to say, based on this, whenever I've seen other things where it's Allred, and I don't know how much else he's worked with Milligan outside of like a continuation of the Ecstatics verse,
mm-hmm.
but it always just makes me a little like, hee hee, I'm happy now.
Yeah, It was a fun comic. I really liked it, actually.
It really is. You know, I mean, which is a nice change of pace. I kind of tried to keep in mind throughout this whole thing that, you know, this did come out in 2001, which, you know, I mean, I don't want to say, like, the comic book world has completely changed since then, but I do feel that having stories akin to this are much more common now than they would have been in 2001.
Yeah, there's been a lot more of those sort of deconstruction stories or
satire
with really large air quotes around it.
Yes, we are substituting superheroes for pop icons.
Yes, because what was that comic? Was it called The Boys?
Is that the Garth Ennis?
Yes.
You know, I haven't read that one.
It's very, very interesting, as really most things he writes are.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I like this X-Force better, because it's a similar idea, like, especially with the sort of pop star, you can do anything you want, excess part of the story. But I feel like this does a better job, and also because it's just weirder, and so that makes it more interesting. The Boys is, like a lot of Ennis stuff, is kind of gross at times.
As weird as Allred gets, it's very rare, even in his grotesque scenes, that it feels gross.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that cartoony quality where, you know, it's like, hey, look, half the team got blown away.
Yeah, those entrails look like cotton candy.
I'm gonna show my mom.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I think a lot of the writing is stronger, like the pathos of like the scenes where Eddie or Hugo Girl is talking about how, well, she's talking to the orphan when he's joined the team, about how, like, we just fight. We don't know what we're doing. Good, bad. We don't know anymore. Like, we don't care. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, we're just going to do it because, you know, it gets us time to come back and then enjoy the perks of being who we are.
Mm-hmm,
it is really strong. Now, I haven't read The Boys, so I can't really say, but I have heard some people just accusing it of being Ennis and kind of his mean-spirited phase.
I could see that as a fair criticism. No. Like, it's good. Like, I enjoyed reading it and found it interesting, but at the end of it, I was kind of like, not as much. Like, this X-Force had a lighter touch.
I mean, I kind of brought it up with the entrails, but you know, it totally fits in this world. But at the same time, it's very easy to forget about how the gore that is present in this comic, because everything does feels, you know, bubblegum light. It's just. You know,
and also, X-Force
is
got
a wink and a smile to it.
It's also much easier to accept as this weird spin-off of the existing Marvel mutant roster.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, if just left alone in a petri dish, this is what mutant super team would turn into. And the Boys, which we'll get off The Boys because I know you haven't read it. The Boys is much more like, hey, let me tell you something about superheroes, what they're really like. And yeah, that's so okay.
Yeah. But the good thing about this is we actually, in one of the early issues, we do get an appearance of the real superheroes, as a nice little, like, probably, I don't know what it would be, not like mooking to the audience or anything like that, but just kind of those characters exist, we're not using them, they're still there, don't worry about it. Yeah, they think these guys are jerks too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I love when they show up, because they're very much like, hey man, this is serious. And they're like, beat the shit out of them now. You know, like...
Yeah. It's... Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one of the other things is, you know, I mean, I honestly, I did not bother to look it up, but it seems that for so long, so many of the X comics have just been a bit like, we're deep. We're dealing with heavy issues. I mean, since, like even to the point where I can just imagine Claremont kind of leaning back and going, you guys do know we don't have to be heavy all the time, right? Like, throw in a softball game or something. Break right. that shit up.
Well, also, you know, because all of the other existing mutant characters in the X-Men continuum, there's so much narrative weight of those characters. Like, there's so many versions and so many stories. And Scott Summers, like, through all his many different iterations, he's been through some crap, so I can understand him being borderline psychologically comatose at times. But having these new characters that don't have that weight that we get to experience them fresh is very, very fun.
Now, that is actually something I kind of wanted to just, you know, see what your thoughts on it were. Is, I mean, I thought some of this book's biggest strengths were also some of it that also things that pointed out its shortcomings, you know? Like, because, you know, spoilers, yada, yada, there's a lot of rotation of characters in this book. You know, there's characters show up pretty much just to be like, yeah, characters die a lot in mutant battles. That's how it would happen. And Milligan, and you know, of course, Allred too, because Allred, one thing Allred can do is he can make his characters act. And they really sell the aspects of it, but they establish an archetype or just like a baseline for a character really, really fast and really, really effectively. But because of the constant turnaround of the characters, and because sometimes it's like, hey, here's Santa Anna, check it out, she's really nice. Kind of, yeah, well, oops, she's dead, feel bad.
Yeah, like, that was a little weird. Like,
And she's not the only one, but it's like, you guys do such a great job of spot characterizing, but then you just don't do anything until you're like, oh, wait, punchline.
Yeah, she was Saint Anna or whatever was the character that I was like, is this a joke? You know, like, the not as in are you messing with me, but just like, are you making a reference to something I'm not catching on to? Like, is this supposed to be an analog to another character somewhere in the continuum that was introduced, nothing was done with them, and then you murdered them? You know, like,
no, you just kind of almost exploded my head a little bit, because I just took it as there's a character that they brought in for something and then killed and didn't really know anything to do other than introduction, ending, and the middle piece they just didn't have an idea for. I mean, that was but it totally could be.
Yeah, I was willing to, like, the rest of the comic was so good that I was like am I not savvy enough to get this, you know? Because it seemed very purposeful. Because they took time with, when they introduced that new batch of team members there halfway through, they, you know, they took time with almost all of them, and her, they're like, eh, she's a girl. She heals things.
Yeah.
You know, we never got, like, an aside with her. We never got a character moment. And even when she's dying, and she's like, Orphan, I thought you were cute. And I was like,
yeah, I mean, there was the kind of introduction of her, and you could kind of, like, from that, it was, she's supposed to be a good character or something, and then she has almost no lines, and then when she does have a dialogue, it just, like, hey, we want someone to kind of be a jerk in this scene. You know, she hasn't said something in a while. There you go. And it's like, wait. I mean, I know she doesn't really have a character at this point, but it kind of feels like you're not having her act in character.
Yeah, so Could be either way. Could be bad writing, or it could be brilliant writing.
Yeah, well, in a way, that was... I'm almost bringing her up just as endemic of the rest of it, if that's the right fucking word. Yeah, one of the things about living in another country is every now and then I forget words. And I want to use them just to, like, see if they still taste right. So that happens. But, yeah, there's a lot of, like... I don't even know if I would consider it effective characterization or just really weak characterization, because it is really quick and really sudden, but it does rely on characters being types you can easily recognize.
Oh, sure. I mean, when they introduce those new characters, like I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his character names, like the Peter Parker as a werewolf character.
Oh, yeah, Vivisector.
Vivisector. Yeah, the names were so purposefully dumb that I kind of like bloke. I was like, you know, but so you mean that they were all really clear, like, this is Peter Parker as a werewolf, the end. This is the Hulk if he was gay, which I was kind of like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. I wish we'd gotten more of that character. I was like, no, that's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
I guess they were trying to make a larger statement about the endless wheel of these mutant characters and how they're just chewed up and spit out.
Yeah,
by this scenario,
and how in a way they kind of all do the same thing.
Yeah, like it's like when all of them died. Okay, get me a brute. Get me a slashy dude. Get me
types. We need an energy person. And can we get at least one person who looks freaky? Okay, excellent. We're sold.
Can we get a ethnic character, please? That would be St. Anna's, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I feel like there was
like
more
the assembling of Boys R Us.
Yes.
Haha.
Which was,
that was fun. Like,
yeah, it was really fun. Some of the stuff in this comic is really, really on the nose, but it's fun, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
I'm on board.
And I kind of got to go back to the thing of, like, when this came out, this is probably, you know, I mean, this is crazy stuff. Like, whoa, they're doing this in a comic in Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, last issue, we had Cannonball flying around being Cannonball for the 115th straight issue. if he was in 115. I didn't check.
Yeah, research, meh.
You're thinking of shows that are better funded, sir.
So, and this is actually a question I had for you, because you are more savvy than I.
Yeah,
the character of Coach, like, is that a pre-existing character, or is that a new version of an old character, or is he totally created for this story?
I'm pretty sure he's just totally created for this. This was them just kind of saying, you know, we want a character who seems like someone who should be important from somewhere. Like, I've never heard of the Arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just evil old man.
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing where I was like, am I not smart enough to get this? Like, is this supposed to be some old hero that will, if I understood who they were before, would throw more light upon this narrative? I think he's a cool character. Like, I love his design.
He's fun.
Like, I like Allred's ability to, like, very specific designs.
Yes.
You know? Like, he has no arm, he has red eyes, and that's basically it. But it's enough to really, like, especially late in the story when he becomes our villain.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it works really, really well. Like, I love his design, and I love Yugo, Eddie. I'm gonna call her Eddie because I hate Yugo Girl.
Yeah, I kept on thinking of her as Edie.
Oh, that's true. They do spell it that way.
Yeah.
I love her design, and I love the orphan so much. Like, I think they just look great.
They do. I mean, really, when you get down to it, like, even characters like Fat. I mean, Fat, it's one of those things that, like, it just should be stupid. And it is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, Allred sells it.
Like, oh, yeah. I was really thinking about just the casual mastery that shows. Like, No, it's this dude who gets really big. His different body parts grow at different rates, and I can totally control the perspective of that.
Yeah.
And make it work. On
oh my
any
god!
Page.
It's all like yeah. when he's knocking the people out of the car. That's just like that looks so good. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's
yeah. And I can imagine a lot of other artists being like, "Oh, how do I draw that?"
And it would just look. It will, until you gave that description, I never really quite thought of how much power-wise he is the same thing as Mr. Fantastic, mm-hmm. but it never comes across as that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not once in this whole comic did I think, oh, check it out. A wannabe hip-hop version of Reed Richards.
Man, I loved so much that one panel of him talking to his parents and be like, hey, sorry, my agent thought it'd be better if I had this persona. Yeah. Be proud of what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, so he's totally, it's because it's reality TV. Of course, he would assume the persona that gets him on the show that, you know, that makes him a favorite.
And I like that even in that panel, you could see his parents like, sure thing, son. Like, they don't have any lines, but it is that moment of, yes, we believe in you. Follow your dream. We are supportive parents.
It's not about justice, it's about getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, I kind of feel like this whole podcast could just be talking about how great Mike Allred is. I mean, it's every panel, you know, like the, actually, no, there is one thing that looking at it, I just got to be like, I'm sorry. Not even Mike Allred could save this era's version of Wolverine.
Yeah, he looks terrible.
Oh, God.
I've forgotten about him. Like, why is he having his shirt on?
Yeah, it's just the yellow and black leather zip-up with the dog tags.
Unzipped.
Oh, yeah, unzipped, showing that hairy, hairy chest.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's that thing of like, really, 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 if I were to say there's one thing in this comic where I'm just like, oh god, it's the Wolverine appearance in 120. Like, start to finish, I'm like, you know, I'm enjoying this and great, but I would probably enjoy this issue so much better, the resolution of the storyline, if Wolverine had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but I just love that they're I love the embracing the stupidity and joke of it. Like, I'm just here to raise ratings.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think just because of that self-awareness, it's like my second or third favorite Wolverine gets popped into a random story to improve ratings. But my first favorite, if you're curious,
I am curious.
It's in Runaways.
Ooh, I don't remember that one.
You ever read Runaways?
No, I've read it. I just can't remember the Wolverine appearance. I blocked it out. I do that with Wolverine appearances.
Fair enough. And that's in that first arc. It's when they're all split up, and it's basically he hangs out with Princess Power or whatever her name is.
Oh, the little girl with the hats.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's so much fun. I'm actually looking forward to reading the Miss Marvel stories where he hangs out with her, the new Kamala Khan. Miss Marvel, I'm like, that looks stupid and fun. I can't wait to read that.
I read the first four issues of Ms. Marvel, and
oh, you did? Oh, that's right. I read your reviews. You didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
It's okay. It's okay if you don't like it.
The internet's gonna hate me. They're gonna hate me, Derek.
I know.
I'm gonna say like, but it's so cliche written. The art's gorgeous, but the writing is so bad. It's just awful. It's terrible writing. And
it's
people
okay.
are talking about how good it is, but it's not. It's just bad.
No, I understand. Like, it's what I haven't read it yet, but I can understand. Like, I haven't read it, and I really want to like it.
Oh, so you know? Did I.
Yeah, because for what it represents and how exciting the idea of that character is.
Yeah.
And even the little snippets I've seen about how she's basically aware of other superheroes and really loves them and thinks they're awesome and like. So I could a lot of people, you know, who aren't reading it as a text, they're just so excited about that idea, and then they go get it, and they're like, yes, it's what I wanted, you know, that's, and then they love it. That's great. But you can read it critically and be like, no, this is bad writing, and I don't like it because it's bad writing. It doesn't mean that you, you know, hate the idea.
See,
you
and
love
that's,
the idea.
And
why you read it in the first place.
I've read four issues. How long do I stick with something that I think is, And but that's the thing, is I kind of get like, maybe it is me. Maybe I'm a closet even more of a racist. Oh God, what's going on? And it just, you know.
No. And then my knowledge of you, I don't think it's you have any problem with Kamala Khan, because that's such an awesome idea. Who wouldn't get on board with that?
Oh yes.
But I think it's just the normal, like, if there's something that you don't like, you can't pretend that you don't like it. And from your reviews, you are.
I'm trying really hard to give it every benefit.
No, I understand. So yeah, just like I think it's one of those things where you can be like, no, it's cool that this is happening. It's cool that everyone's really excited about it. It's great. Just the concept is great. The execution of the writing is not great.
No.
And then you could just drop it and check back in, you know, in a year and see where it's at.
I might do that.
Or like I said, or I can, maybe for a podcast, I could read it and be like, no, you're stupid and racist and old, Brent Thomas. That's the problem. Get with it.
Can I get that on like a tagline for the podcast, like in the show art? You're stupid,
yeah, exactly.
Racist, and old. Listen to Comics League International.
At least it would be right there on the tip.
Hey, yeah. you know your darlings? He hates them. Hates what you love. Hates what you love.
And you know why he hates them? Because they're good. He hates them because they're good.
Yes. That is exactly
it. He hates them because you love them.
Hey, you want to go back and read Batman Earth 1?
God, no. No amount of money will get me to go back and read Batman Earth 1.
What if it was Mike Allred? What if somehow he magically popped in?
If they just handed that script to Mike Allred and he drew it, I would go back and read it. That's fine. I would do
that.
That
would be awesome.
Just to watch him draw the Bruce Wayne Alfred fight, it would be ridiculous.
That would be great. I love. I'm just like, as we're talking, I'm flipping through pages of X-Force, and just like everything from the saving the little kid. You know,
mm-hmm.
Here, get this. When I was reading that, like, I couldn't help but wonder, do you know the character named Richter?
No.
He was originally introduced in X Factor, became a new mutant. I'm forgetting his actual, like, real name. He was actually a part of X-Force for a little while too. He's I believe he's Hispanic, and he can like create tremors and earthquakes. He was a large part of Peter David's relaunch of X-Factor, like when it's, you know, the Madrox detective agency. He's a great character, but how he was actually introduced was as a teenager, a group of bad guys had him kidnapped, hooked up to a machine, and were using him to destroy buildings. So as I'm reading this force of these issues of X-Factor, I'm like, huh. I wonder if they're Richter fans.
I mean, could be. I mean, it seems
probably
much
not,
more...
but yeah.
I mean, it was much more an Elian Gonzalez joke.
Yes, it certainly was. But I just had that in my head.
Yeah, though I love that idea. Like, I would love to live in the world where Elian Gonzalez is a super powerful mutant, and that's why everyone lost their mind about it. Because I just want to live in a world where there are super powerful mutants. Yeah. That's what I want.
If anyone listening to this actually remembers
Elian Gonzalez, is a super powerful mutant, please
let us know
so we can hang out.
Yeah, and just we'll put you on the podcast. What's it like? Do people ask you to say bub a lot? And that's another fun thing about this, you know, is the kind of weird powers that are, I mean, we do have a werewolf guy.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, but then we have Fat, who we've talked about. The various strong guys, which sure look like brutish strong guys, but then we have the explanation of the anarchist is his sweat somehow turns into plasma. I think it gets explored more in later stuff, but it just sounds like a neat idea.
Yeah, it also sounds like we're making fun of stupid mutant powers.
Yeah.
Oh, my sweat excretes I blast people. Like, what? You know, like, I think it's supposed to make you go, what?
What?
And then they never, so they just roll yeah. right past it.
And but that's kind of the fun of like, oh yeah, I can do, I'm even Orphan / Guy Smith / Mr. Sensitive. I'm really, really sensitive.
So sensitive.
Yeah, like, I can feel stuff. And they go, like, he's the character who they go through the most of kind of, like, demonstrating what his powers are and what he can do. Mm-hmm. But it also, yeah. like, it never actually matters. Like, yeah, he's really sensitive. And knows, you know, martial arts. And punches stuff. And, no, he's fast, too. Because, yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitive.
And what was it, Zeitgeist that had his super powerful vomit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A great introduction. It's, which is also a nice little play on Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's, it's my first, well, it's a romantic encounter. We don't know if it's his first. Didn't really seem like it. But is that, and then we're about to kiss. Blah!
Yeah. Also, I love that first issue of, like, no, this is your main character, here's his backstory, and he's dead. So,
next issue, tune in, what happens?
Yeah, you could almost tell that they wanted to do that every issue.
Oh, they kind of, yeah.
Let's introduce a new character, make them the main character, kill them at the end of the issue. Yeah. And then probably someone was like, guys, no.
Aww. No. But I don't know, it did a, I think that really, like, having that, it was such a smart decision because it gave them, you know, a nice little reason to have Edie and Tyke, the anarchist, have that friction of, well, who gets to be the leader then? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the new guy who's probably a more effective leader? Or is it going to be the more established in the world member of the team?
Mm-hmm. Also, I thought her powers were much cooler.
Yeah, yeah. I like the design of her power signature, the little swirl.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great teleport thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's basically Gateway. You know, like, I love, like, portal related powers and stuff. So yep, yeah. Yep.
I just, in my head, I imagine the all-teleporting comic book that you would just be a super fan of. And then that teleported the other teleporter, and then they all teleported back to the teleporter.
Wouldn't it be awesome if it was just, like, a bunch of teleporters, and so when there was a problem, they would just open portals and just throw rocks through them from the couch?
That'd be awesome.
Or just, like, okay, they teleport there, they open a portal underneath the bad guys to prison, and they're like, oh, okay, what do you want to do now? I guess we'll get lunch.
Yeah. We're done, yeah.
Good work, everybody.
Now, if you were just a group of teleporters, would you, like, try and fight crime, or would you just try and, you know, be like, yeah, we're movers. Oh, you want to move? Yeah, just put your boxes there. Boom. That'll be $40.
Good work, everybody. Good lunch.
High fives.
Portal fives.
You
don't actually. You have to open a portal away from yourself.
Hey, here's a hand. I better high five it.
Let's high five in Egypt right now. Go.
Awesome. By the way, if you need something moved to Egypt, I totally know a guy. He's got teleportation powers.
So after this run, they slowly morph them into ecstatics.
Well, I think it continues for another arc, maybe two arcs, in X-Force. And then it goes from X-Force to ecstatics. And then ecstatics, I want to say it only ran like 20 issues or so.
Okay.
And then after that, like, you know, they kind of quasi bring them back. So ecstatics ran for 26 issues. Not that I'm looking this up as we talk. And then it had Ecstatics Presents Dead Girl, which was another new character that got introduced. You know, as a 5-issue limited series in 2006. And then, like I said, just last year, all new Dupe came out that I know at least one issue had all red art. I don't know if the whole thing was Milligan and all red, but, you know, definitely ties into this because it's Dupe.
Who is Dupe? Like, the Dupe pre-exists this story?
I don't think so. I think Dupe was just, like, I think, again, it's just one of those things of they wanted to give the idea, kind of with Coach, that these characters have history. So, which, you know, you have someone like Wolverine showing up in his best outfit ever, being like, yeah, I know you. My, we're stuff. My history, my favors.
I wouldn't do it for anyone else, Dupe, but I'll do it for you.
And I'll do it the best I can, because that's...
You son of a bitch.
And then they, like, high-five in Egypt, and the A-team rolls in, and something explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
I would read that comic.
Yeah, I'd read that comic. It's true. It's true.
Yeah, nah. I mean, this was a really fun stuff. I think, like, Milligan is one of those writers that when I do read, he's always been very kind of hit or miss with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I'll admit his stuff on Shade, it started off really strong, and then I just kind of felt like, wow, you just kind of keep on going with this, don't you? Yeah. But he's one of those guys that I think when he's on his game, he does a great job.
I mean, I haven't read any of the other stuff, but I really like this.
Yeah. No, you should check out. I'm kind of looking through to see what else is there. I mean, this, honestly, after all, I've only read like a small percentage of his work. This might be, I think, his best work, you know, because he followed Morrison on Animal Man.
That's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, and he's done, like, he did some Justice League Dark, and, you know, some Stormwatch, and lots he did 70 issues of Shade the Changing Man for Vertigo. His Human Target was really good.
Okay. Didn't they make a show out of that?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, for like five minutes a few years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, it was, you know, a comic book turned into a TV show, so how much it actually had to do is really anyone's guess.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about Ecstatics other than I think if someone enjoyed the tone of these first 5 issues of it, it just kind of keeps on at it. It's fun. There's change-ups here and there. There's just some wacky shit going on. And all of it, I think all of it, a large portion of it is Mike Allred.
Cool.
So if you
yeah, like, I make I actually make a get look up the later issues and read them.
It's a lot of fun. Like, you know, I could tote this. We were kind of talking about before. I think this whole thing, it really is. If you like what's in here, you'll like the whole run. If you don't like these five issues, then you probably won't change your mind. I don't know. Maybe read one more arc just to see if it kind of grows on you. But if you're just like, nope, then it's not going to change too much.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Any final comments you want to add?
I mean, it's a really interesting book. The art's great. Some of the satire is creaky, but yes. When you consider when it was written and how it was really kind of ahead of its time, in a lot of ways, it's definitely worth reading. I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah. It's the hijinks they get up to. I don't even want to say who's featured more in later issues, because half of the fun of this is you can see from these five, anyone can really die at any time. And that's almost like a gift in mainstream comics of having that type of freedom. Here's a bunch of characters who aren't going to be used ever. So, you know, it could happen in any issue. Like, hey, you think this is the main guy? Nope. Cool. Well, Derek, where on the web can people find you?
Okay. You can find me at spell-sword.com. You can also find me on Twitter at gderekadams.com. Please interact with me there. It would be delightful.
Yes, it would be most amusing. and also go buy his book. It's on Amazon, I think.
It is on Amazon. You should read it. It's called Spellsword. And the sequel is The Riddle Box. Enjoy.
Yeah, you got two books. I keep on forgetting because it's taking forever to get here, because I want the paperback version. I
understand.
I want to see it in my hands. You must stroke him, Thuva, every day.
We've given you this milky white cat, Thuva. You must care for him. Thuva Hawat. That movie's so great.
It almost sounds like you're going like slightly into Hannibal Lecter at the end.
Don't all things inevitably become Hannibal Lecter at the end?
I think so. You know, issue 121, Hannibal Lecter shows up.
Of course he does.
Of course. They got the rights. How expensive could those be?
Why wouldn't he?
Especially 2001 Marvel, they were rolling in cash. Fucking rolling in it.
Uh-huh.
I believe, actually, if you bought that issue in 2001, Marvel just actually sent Mike Allred and Pete Milligan to your house to, like, give you a hug. They were just, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for buying the comic.
Awesome. If you want to hear more from me, then, I feel like I'm all over the place. I got to get, like, my plugs down to a simple thing. Okay, for this podcast, if you liked it, if you had fun with it, go over to iTunes and rate it, review it, make me feel special. There's only two reviews up there, and I'm not going to say the two people who left the reviews are currently on this show.
Why would you say a thing like that?
That's ridiculous. I don't know. But all I'm saying is if a third person wanted to also leave a review, I could no longer say that. It would not in any form be accurate. So please go rate and review the show. Also, I started a Facebook page for this show. So if you're on Facebook, as you know, all the cool kids are, I think, still, I don't know, then go search for Comics League International and it'll pop up. And you can like it. And then you can share it. And you can tell it with your friends and family. And you should do that anyway. Just tell your friends and family incessantly about podcasts. and about this one in particular, and then ask if there are any better comic book shows on there, then you should just lie to them and say, no, this is the best one.
No, this is the best one.
This is the only one. No one else talks about comics on the internet.
It's funny that no one else has thought of this.
I know, right? I love being the first one to the market. But then again, you know, and then you can go to deadlytroubadour.com where I host shows like a show like this show, and I also I write stuff sometimes short stories. You can go see those reviews of Ms. Marvel. What is it I think the most entertaining part of the show might have been us talking about Ms. Marvel as opposed to X-Force? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's because we're both pretty much in agreement about X-Force and liked it. So we're like, yeah, we liked it.
Yeah. Which part did you like? I like that part too.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're right. Do you think I'm right?
We need to try to find something divisive.
Yeah, we do. I think it's pronounced divisive.
I'm sorry, sir. English speaker.
You gave up too soon. That was going to be our big battle of words. Hey, Derek, thanks for fucking up the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's early.
We can't do this at 8 and 10 anymore.
No, this was a poor choice.
Next time, sandwiches. Oh, by the way, I also do a show called Living Japan, also available on iTunes. Go there. You know, it's fun.
Do it.
We talk about lots of Japan-type stuff. You can hear me slowly go mad after living here for a decade. It's fun. It's been 10 years, Derek. 10 years.
Oh, I know.
That's a lot of, I don't know, insert your favorite sushi, manga, whatever.
Yeah, just make your jokes.
Yeah.
There's a joke kit. Make your own joke.
Buy it for your friends and family. I'm going to stop the show now.
Okay.
No last jokes?
No, we're done.